And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock God Rick Maxa. We're in the Mighty 1090 studios with Charles Villafana from NOAA. We're going to have a great show today, talking fishing and talking all kinds of things that NOAA does in relationship to our fisheries. You stay tuned. Going to be a great show on Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Are you as excited about spring fishing as I am? The water stayed warm all winter, which means it's shaping up to be one of the best seasons ever to get out on the water. It's also shaping up to be one of the best seasons ever to visit your Ford dealer. The all-new F-150s are starting to roll in. With over 100 new patents, it's guaranteed to be a game changer. The new Mustang also has everyone buzzing. You've got to check it out. And the new Fusion, Focus, and Escape are better than ever. Fuel efficient and loaded with technology. There's as much interest in these new Fords as there is in spring fishing. In fact, Ford was the most searched automotive brand on Google last year. And once again, it's America's best-selling brand based on 2014 calendar year sales, which makes Ford the brand more people search, buy, and buy again. There's a lot to be excited about this spring, whether you're after tuna, yellowtail, halibut, or a brand new Ford. So visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Information is the key to success, and inside information is even better. When it comes to fishing, inside information is critical, and that's what FishDope.com delivers. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and save fuel. FishDope.com is the only SST service with a satellite oceanographic PhD on board, the only fish finding service with a spotter plane. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com boasts the largest code group anywhere, covering sport boats, commercial boats, and private boaters. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. What I'm telling you is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, good luck. Membership costs less than 40 gallons of gas for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, stay tuned for the special code to save $20 on a FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish. Burn less fuel. The new Shimano Torium HG is here, and you'll be able to experience this fantastic reel now at your local Shimano dealer. The new Torium is up to 30% smaller than the previous generation, but still has the same line capacity. The smaller S-compact body design and one-piece die-cast aluminum frame provides more rigidity and lighter weight. Torium now has EI surface treatment and is tested up to 700 times the corrosion resistance of past models. The new Shimano Torium HG is not only better on the outside, the inside is amazing, with a cross-carbon drag providing up to 24 pounds of drag pressure from a star drag reel. It has a sealed roller clutch and 6.2 to 1 brass gears. The machined aluminum handle has a larger knob to make it easy to crank in the big fish. The new lightweight aluminum spool gives you better casting and control. Available in three sizes, the Torium HG is the next evolution in compact, rigid, and powerful saltwater star drag reels. Get it now at your local Shimano dealers.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Going to be a great show today,
man. Oh, it is going to be a great show. Charles Villafana from NOAA, thank you very much for being here.
What's up, Charles?
No problem.
Yeah. Of course, Craig Heber was scheduled to be here, but he was called to a meeting in Honolulu, right?
That's right.
Which is where you were last week, right?
I was out there last week.
You guys do a lot of meetings in Hawaii. What's the deal? Is it just because it's
one of the other regional offices out there? Five regions around the country. Two on the East Coast, Northeast, Southeast. There's a West Coast region, Alaska region, Hawaii, Pacific Islands region.
Yeah.
So different meetings, different regions host them around the year.
So when you're doing a meeting like in the middle of the Pacific like that, is this an international meeting or does it pretty much deal with U.S.
issues? The one I was at was all U.S. Yeah. The one Craig's at, I think, had some international component.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. You guys deal a lot with other nations in working to work with the fisheries?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like are you negotiating quotas? Are you what kind of deals do you do with other nations?
Not too much at these type of meetings. We do have out of our office, we work on the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission,
mm-hmm.
and that's an international group of all the countries that fish tuna in the Eastern Pacific, and so they meet once a year in different countries, and that's really a negotiation meeting. But State Department's there, and each country is actually bringing people from their fishing agency as well as their equivalent of the State Department.
Do you, like, review the science of fish stocks, and that's how they determine who catches what and how much we're all going to have, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of which, I think Craig was saying they're working on big-eye tuna.
The meeting he's at is Big Eye Tuna.
Yeah. Is that, and there's been a lot of concern about Big Eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they're going over now?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll wait and see what happens there, right?
Yeah.
Are we ever going to see Big Eye?
Right, that's what I was totally going to ask that next. Where are they at?
A few have been caught here.
Yeah.
Occasionally. They're pretty rare up in our area. I mean, we get them just to the south a little bit. So.
Yeah.
I mean, not knowing at all, and trust me, I wouldn't put you on the spot. Cause I know it's not like your gig or anything, but just as a personal opinion, how much of it is a low fish stock, and how much of it is just, you know, you got to have the. It's not like Big Eye come all the time. Obviously, it's the right condition and cycles, and we've seen albacore do the same thing. I mean, how much, in your opinion, is. Is it a cyclical thing versus overfishing?
In terms of coming into California?
Just us not, yeah. You know, you don't see a Big Eye on the prowler like you did, you know, 10 years ago kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think we just don't get them very much, you know. Certainly not into California waters too often.
Well, you never know, though. They could swim in this year.
Exactly.
You got to be ready.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what is it that your main, I know you do wear a lot of hats at NOAA. What is it kind of your main gig now? I mean, I know things change. Things have been moving around. Marty retired, and you guys shifted jobs and things like that.
So work on on both the Commercial Observer program, and then also I'm on our recreational fishing team. So was when we used to be the two regions, Northwest and Southwest, and it was heavily involved in rec fishing in the Southwest. Now Craig is our lead coordinator for the West Coast region, and I'm on board a team of a handful of us working on different issues, and my focus on rec issues is pretty much California rockfish issues.
Okay.
So on the rec side, that's really more mostly what I'm focusing on.
It's on the rockfish issues.
Issues and release mortality and gear modifications, things like that.
So you worked a lot with the guys doing the release devices and going out and doing the studies on the releasing devices.
Definitely,
like
with Nick and John.
Yeah.
So,
And I was able to go on one of those trips. It was really quite educational.
It is.
And now I carry and use every time I go into rockfish areas one of the release devices, and it's not only is it a good feeling, it's a right thing to do too.
Yeah, and we're actually this year is the first year that we're in our estimation when we run our estimations of how much fish was caught and the samplers that you see down at the docks, the fish and game samplers. All right, fish and wildlife samplers, excuse me. One of the questions they ask is, if you released rockfish, did you release it with or without a device? And for canary, cowcod, and yellow eye, we've developed variable mortality estimates or mortality rates for what depth they were released at with and without a device. And this 2015 will be the first year that in season we'll be managing with those rates built into the estimates.
That's awesome.
So when you release those fish, it's gonna count as less of a hit to the quota than to the allocation than the than a release without advice would have.
So are we supposed to report those releases then?
Yeah, if the samplers ask you, answer correctly.
Answer correctly.
What you did if you released a fish with or without advice.
Whether you let it float or you let it drop on a rock release.
We want the right number. Yeah. We want the right answer or what actually happened to that fish.
Do the release devices work?
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Yeah, they definitely, absolutely no question they do a better job than just throwing them back or venting or anything like that. You know, each device works a little different from each other, and I always say find the one that works for your boat, your situation, your type of fishing.
How, explain venting is when somebody sticks a needle into the air bladder and releases. What's the mortality rate of venting versus using a release device?
It's higher. I don't know any of the rates offhand, but higher, and there's part of the problem with venting is a lot of people are poking, and what's coming out of their mouth is actually their stomach. So poking that doesn't really, it releases some air, but it's their stomach, so you're causing an injury. And then just poking around with that needle or whatever you're poking them with, you may or may not be hitting the right spot. You may or may not be doing it right, and it's you have a pretty good chance of infecting a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may not have an immediate mortality, but 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the road, you may have mortality, or you may cause injuries that don't allow them to reproduce, and that's not good either.
That's not good either, yeah. So venting is a practice you're really trying to discourage people.
Correct, yeah. We're not really not a very good mm-hmm. practice. We at the show a couple weeks ago, at the Fred Hall show, we had a couple of photos of some of swim bladders after venting and what they look like. It almost looks sort of like those, you see the anti-smoking ads with the healthy lung. Along those lines. So.
Well, you're poking a septic needle or device or whatever.
The triple look of a 6X Junior is not exactly the most sterile thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It just doesn't make any sense to do it that way. And what about release devices? Which one, if you were going to use one, is there one in particular that you like?
Yeah, good question.
You know, I've used them all. I find each of them pretty good in different situations. It's really really personal preference, how much you want to spend on it, where, what type of fishing you want to do, what your boat's geared up at, rigged up like. You know, milk crate takes up some space, but you can put multiple fish in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for maybe a sport boat, a milk crate is a good idea.
Yeah, so they work well there. Yeah. You know. Sequalizers, kind of nice. You can string a couple of them together. They're kind of expensive. Rocklease, you know, it's a one fish at a time. It's a little cheaper. It goes down quickly. You need a dedicated rod for it.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton is a little tricky to get in the water, but it's cheap. Takes up very little space. And the tackle box, very easy to rig up. So it's really a matter of preference. I mean, they all have their pros, for sure. They all have their situation they work best in.
When you say milk crate, real fast, just for maybe somebody that hasn't seen it, what are you referring to there?
It's basically a crate that has hook on some dive weights or some large weights to it, tie a line off, and are able to flip the crate over with the fish in it and drop them down, and it just basically just works like a big elevator, shoot them right back down to depth.
How far?
Ideally, we say depth of capture, as close to depth of capture mm-hmm. as you can, so close to the bottom for really any of the devices. But 100 feet, if you can get down to 100 feet, 60 to 100 feet is good. Mm-hmm. The deeper you can get them, the better.
The deeper, the better.
Yeah, as close to where they started,
okay.
the better.
We use that Rocklease on our boat, and it's too easy not to. I mean, the excuse kind of goes away once you have it. I mean, it's just, like you say, it is one at a time, but I mean, if you catch a fish that's not right, you just, before you drop back down, you clip the thing on, you drop it back down, and within, whatever, 2 minutes, you know, maybe 3 minutes, you're back up and fishing again.
Yeah, that's what I use, too, mm-hmm. and depending on if you catch a big salmon grouper or something like that, you just put an extra weight on.
Exactly.
You can't get them down. It's a relatively easy device. I have a dedicated rod that's like a little, I cut a rod in half and basically put a tip on it and have like a little short rod that I just keep dedicated for the Rocklease with an old reel on it. And Summer, just drop it down.
Summertime, it's a rod we fly the kite from. In the wintertime, yeah, exactly. It's the thing we drop our bokashi with.
Exactly the same thing. Yeah. So let's talk about observers, which is one of your main thing right now. When you're saying observers, so all commercial purseine fleet boats in the U.S. have to have a NOAA observer aboard, right?
We're not observing the purseine fleet. We actually, for tuna, very little purseining going on in the States, in California.
That fleet is gone.
It's really, it's really moved to the South Pacific and some other areas. We have a little bit of intermittent purseining when the bluefin kind of move in or some of the bonito move in. We get some switch from the sardine, squid, anchovy fleet over to fishing tunas, but it's pretty spotty.
So mostly what you're observing, you're only observing on U.S. boats. Your guys are not observing on foreign boats.
Correct.
But foreign boats need to have observers too, right?
Correct. So they are observed. All the large purseiners are observed through various foreign agreements with foreign fleets. And we do have a few U.S. boats, and they are observed, just not out of my program.
Out of your program. So you obviously work with these guys. Here they are. They are federal agents basically on a vessel, probably not super welcome aboard that vessel. I mean, what's the kind of attitude about
yeah,
that?
Right.
You know, it's an extra person on board your boat that's there. But, you know, for most of these fleets that are observed, the only way they really get to continue fishing is with observers. It's sort of take an observer or you don't fish a deal. And it's really the way we track in the various fleets is the way we track what's being caught, bycatch, some fishing gear characteristics, where fleets are operating, mix of fish, a lot of fishing practices. We've done a lot of we collect a lot of biological samples off from observers, so otoliths, stomach samples, skin samples, fin clips, heads and stomachs, and you name it. Photos of rare fish, photos of rare stuff. So we're able to get a lot of information out of by putting somebody on board that we can't get from a dockside interview or a dockside review of the fish.
So when you see, if you're out there, it's probably not going to happen a lot this year, but if you see a squid purseine boat, does that boat have an observer on it?
We don't.
Not on squid?
Yeah.
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 But other types of fisheries?
Yeah. I work on for the HMS, HMS observers, so we put on gillnet and longline boats.
Okay.
So where we're working.
So a gillnet and longline boat would have an observer on it?
Most of the time.
Most of the
we do
even smaller ones?
We do about 30%. 30% coverage.
Oh, 30%. Okay. So not every boat.
Not
has
every
an
boat.
Observer.
Yeah.
Is it random?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. There's different logistics that go into how we place. But
interesting. And how important is that data that the observer is collecting?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. It's led to a lot of interesting information that we've gathered over the years. So.
Yeah. And again, you and your group are here to protect our fisheries.
Exactly.
Yeah, and make sure that we have a future fishery here, and especially when you're dealing with commercial guys, they can impact the fishery quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like Craig, like we always said too, Charles is a fisherman. Like, I mean, it's good to see guys that are one of us in this position, you know. I mean, I know Charles for a long time too, in fishing tackle and Fred Hall shows and fishing this week, you know. I mean, like
you took your daughter fishing on Thursday at Dana War Sport Fishing.
Yeah,
right?
my son will be four next this coming Wednesday. So Thursday, my dad and I took him out his first party
rad.
Boat trip. And,
that's cool.
He fished the whole time. He was excited the whole time. He saw a whale, saw dolphins. He saw what he called a pirate ship coming back in. and he caught his first calico all by himself.
Wow.
That's cool.
I think there were about 30 fish caught on the whole boat, and he caught two of them.
Two of them?
So,
and you said he's four?
He's not quite four. He'll be
not
four in
quite
a few days.
Wow. Yeah. Good way to start him out right there, Charles. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. We have a lot to talk about. Haven't covered bluefin, sea lions. What else you want to cover? Salmon? I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome show. We're really fortunate to have somebody like Charles in here because, you know, I mean, it's very cool to see the other side and how things come about and whether you agree with things or don't agree with things. It's just at least nice to know how that information comes about. We're really stoked to have him in here, and we're stoked to hear from you this morning. It's going to be a great show, and we would love to have you join us here on Let's Talk Hookup. And if you want to get through, there's two ways that you can reach us this morning, and the first and best right now would be with our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's open right now. And we do have a toll-free line open as well. That one's 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Toll-free line open right now. Your chance to talk to Charles. And not only are we going to be talking everything about NOAA, all the great fishing that's going on, all the great information, we've also got an awesome prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. Somebody's going to win a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses. It's the Twin Falls style frame. It's got the olive fade, which is a really cool color, kind of that dark green with these black stripes. It's a really cool looking frame, the Twin Falls. And it's got that great Maui HT lens, which, Pete, I know is your favorite, and it's certainly mine as well. So a really cool pair of glasses for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. Thanks to our good buddies up at Maui Jim. And when we come back, we got a lot of information coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Ultimate one-stop shop for everything you need for a great day on the water is Dana Landing in Mission Bay. Dana Landing has the best in six-pack fishing, featuring several boats, including the new Double Down, perfect for 2 to 4 anglers, and the Impulse that will carry up to 6 anglers in comfort and style. Dana Landing has a huge tackle shop with everything you need to go fish bay bass, tuna, or marlin, plus expert anglers on staff to help. They even have Mexican and California fishing licenses. The deli at Dana Landing is a local's favorite with legendary sandwiches, salads, and more, plus all the ice and beverages you need. When it comes to freshwater tackle, East County Bait and Tackle is the spot for everything you need for a great day on the lake. The ultimate in rods and reels, the latest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has a staff second to none when it comes to giving great advice and sharing their passion for fishing. East County Bait and Tackle is at the end of the 67th Freeway on Mapleview in Lakeside. And Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check DanaLanding.com for more details.
Doing business with the right company always pays off, and Jobsite Supply is that kind of company, selling commercial contractor supplies since 1987. Jobsite Supply specializes in the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing trades with lines like Louisville Ladders. Come see the full line of Louisville Ladders at Jobsite Supply. Plus, they have the exclusive logo lock system in-house, which allows them to take your company name and logo and embed it permanently into the fiberglass to deter theft and keep track of your ladders. Check JobsiteSupplyCo.com for more details.
Discover the reliable Yamaha 4-stroke family. This versatile line of outboards is available in a range of horsepower with exciting new additions like the advanced technology next generation F-115 and F-200. Both the F-115 and the innovation award-winning Yamaha F-200 are the lightest double overhead cam 4-strokes in their classes. The original F-150 delivers legendary reliability, and the all-new F-175 creates a convenient new horsepower tier. Compact, lightweight Yamaha 4-strokes, perfect for repower and ready for anything. Find them today at your local Yamaha Marine dealer.
It's time to talk about great gear from Shimano, and I'll tell you what, today is the day we load the Royal Star for our 11-day Let's Talk Hookup Fly Down, Fly Back trip, flying down to Cabo on Wednesday. And guess what I have in my bag?
I would say no doubt you got your Talikas ready to roll.
Yeah, all my Talikas, including the Ultimate.
The Beast.
The Beast itself, the Talika 50 two-speed reel. If you've never used the Talika 50 and you like big fish fishing, you're in for a treat. Because the power that reel has, it's a winch.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too, how well that thing works. There's a lot of great 50s out there, but the thing that sets Talika apart so much is that the spool weight is so little. When it comes time to cast a bait as small as a sardine, but still fishing 130 pounds, you can do that. You can overhead cast because the spool weighs so little, and the bait's easy to pull. You know, the bait can easily pull line off of the spool.
And it fly lines so well because that spool is so light. You can load it up. with 130 Holo Power Pro, Holo Ace. Put your top shot on it, and you've got a machine that can land the big one. So check it out, the Talica 50 two-speed at your local Shimano dealer.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day and a half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, phones are packed. They want to talk to Charles, so let's go ahead and jump into it, Rick.
You got it. Well, let's start off this morning with Brian. Brian this morning is calling us from Claremont. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, Brian. Brian has his radio on. Don't forget we have a hey, 7 or 8 second delay, so be sure to turn your radio down.
What's
Good
up,
morning,
Brian?
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I was just wanted a quick one here. Yesterday I was at Point Loma Seafoods, and they had fresh albacore. It didn't say local, but do you guys have any idea where that came from?
Charles, where are they catching albacore this time of the year?
The ocean.
In the ocean, yeah. That's a good answer.
That's a good one.
You know, it could be the Northwest. It could be off California coast somewhere. It could be off Mexico.
Yeah, it could be. It could be anywhere. It could be a Hawaiian boat coming in. It could be any number of things, any number of places. So.
Now, they do catch in Hawaii tombo, which is a deep water albacore. Mm-hmm. So it could be from Hawaii, too, right? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And how was it?
It was great.
I might have to go down there this afternoon and get some for dinner.
I missed that.
Yeah, that's what we did last night.
Fresh albacore. I know they also had fresh troll caught king salmon.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Wintertime fish, too.
I picked up some smoked wahoo, too.
Oh, it's good stuff.
That's my favorite.
All right. Hey, thanks. Right, thanks a lot,
Brian,
for the call. Appreciate you getting us started here. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about we talk to Jim calling us from Fallbrook. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
You too, Jim.
My daughter works for NOAA in Hawaii.
All right.
Very good. All right.
So she works on the Muck Seal Project.
Okay.
And I guess they're a lot different than the seals that eat my fish over here all the time.
Oh, I'd say they'd probably eat your fish if you were around, though.
Well, they say they go in deeper water to feed, up to 1,600 foot. But the ones over here at San Clemente Island, boy, they're right under the boat waiting.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah. All right. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Hey,
bye, Jim.
I want to kind of clear up a little misconception where a lot of people call sea lions seals. There's a difference, right?
Yep. So it's the biggest way you can tell is sea lions have external ears and seals do not.
Do not.
So we really have two seals on the West Coast, the harbor seal and the northern elephant seal. And then we really have primarily just the one sea lion. California sea lion. Yeah, we have a few stellars sighted up north occasionally, and once in a while we'll get a fur seal also has ears, external ears. And
they do.
We get them once in a great while. But
fur seals are sea lions or seals?
They're fur seals, but they're eared seals.
They're
more like a sea lion.
Yeah. So is a sea lion an eared seal?
Correct.
So they are all seals.
They're all pinnipeds. Yeah.
But sea lions and seals. What about the stellar? The stellar is the one you see in Alaska, right?
Correct.
Yeah, they look like sea lions.
Yeah, and they are. They're larger species.
And what about the monk seal that he was referring to in Hawaii?
They're an earless seal.
They're an earless seal. Okay, yeah. True seal. All right. The ones that we interact the most with here, that seem to be the most overpopulated, would be the sea lions.
Yeah, the California.
The
sea
California
lions
sea lions. Yeah.
I interacted with them a whole bunch this week. I'm not a big fan.
No, none of us are. Nor is the guy that got yanked over the side in Mission Bay last week.
How about that?
That, you know, that's That's a very telling situation. You know, it's interesting. The week before, we were at the Coronado Islands and brought up a, my friend Ron brought up a half of bonita, and he was kind of hanging it over the side. I said, get that thing in the boat.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
If you – just a warning, guys. I mean, and that's a good warning that that guy yanked over to the side. Those things don't know your arm from the end of the fish. So just be very cautious. You have a fish. Don't be hanging it over the side holding onto it. Get it in the boat and before you release it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, the ones that get in the marina life, I mean, everybody knows the same thing. When you're bringing your boat back into the shelter island launch ramp, there's one or two that just are always there. There's always one in the marina where we keep the boat at that, I mean, every single time that has grabbed fish off the dock, you know, people unloading from their cooler into the dock cart kind of thing. I mean, it's just, there's some that you just, you know, you gotta, they're bad ones.
Yeah, so... Is there ever going to be, I mean, and I don't know the NOAA's kind of the guys that, I know it's a federal law, the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
Right.
Is there ever going to be a situation like in the Battle Locks, say, where they're taking out problem sea lions that are eating the endangered salmon and steelhead? Is there ever going to be a situation where we can take problem sea lions out of the picture?
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Probably very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Mm-hmm. It would take some pretty major revision of the MMPA,
yeah.
Marine Mammal Protection Act, to do that, which would require Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
there's really require their action.
And it would be a huge fight with the environmentalists.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And the PETA people,
right.
And the rights of sea lions. I mean, there's all kinds of groups there. Mm-hmm. That
all
would
kinds
be
of wackos
involved.
Out there.
That'd be involved in that fight. You know, I would love to see one of those people have themselves dragged over the side by a sea lion, you know, and then maybe see their attitude change, right?
Sure, it would.
To see their interaction with how aggressive these things have become. But to me, it doesn't seem, it seems much more feasible and more right that if you do have a bad one, to take it out of the population, because it's given a bad name to the rest of the guys out there, right? I mean...
Sure makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a
preaching to the choir.
I know, but it's something
crazy.
That probably like you say, Charles, is not going to change a lot. Yeah, because of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
Hey, you got it. How about we talk to Steve, who's calling us from North Park this morning? Steve, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Great.
I read an article in Business Insider that said that the West Coast sardine population was near collapse. So I wanted to know if that was factual, and what fishermen would use for live bait in this warm water situation if we didn't have sardines.
We discussed that before the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh. Before the show.
Before the show, yeah. Kind of off the air. We were kind of talking about, you know, the availability of sardines and such like that.
Well, my reading is my second profession.
Ah.
So
I was curious what Charles had to think about that, and I will take my question off the air and let another caller get through.
Thanks Goldie.
All right. Yeah, we sardine... you know, just like any stock of fish moves up and down over the years, we're definitely in a lower point in the abundance of sardine. Next week is the Pacific Council meeting up in Santa Rosa, which is a Pacific Council is where we manage Fisheries Management Council's body that oversees federal fisheries management,
of which. Don Hanson from Dana Wharf sits on the Pacific Fisheries Board.
Yeah,
Buzz is on it.
So one of the things they're deciding next week is the some of the information about sardine season for this coming year. So we'll see what they say.
Is that more so the commercial take of sardine or the bait take of sardine?
The directed commercial take is really what they primarily focus on, but They also may discuss the live bait component, but
okay. It's kind of a separate entity in that,
yeah,
though.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
so
the thing that they're up in arms about is the people that are fishing sardine, taking them for sale for whatever they use, food fish, not necessarily the bait haulers.
Reduction fishery.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's a very well-managed fishery where, yeah, where the allocation moves around up and down with, mm-hmm, the stock size and with the abundance.
Yeah.
And it's a very precautionary abundance. The harvest is very precautionary. So we do really pay real close attention to make sure that we're not overfishing that stock.
And I mean, I don't think it's news to any of us because we've all seen it before. You know, again, we talked about the albacore and the big eye. It's a cyclical thing. I mean, we've all been kind of fearing that it is coming, but I mean, it, you know, sardines are things that come and go, you know, for cycles at a time. So do you see the potential lesser of it because of overfishing, or is it, you know, more of a cyclical kind of thing?
I think it's mostly a cyclical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not overfished.
It is not overfished.
It is not, yeah, overfished. When they say a reduction fishery, explain what that is.
Well, I was saying a reduction in fishing.
Yeah, a reduction.
But a reduction fishery is taking the catch and turning it into things like dog food, fish oil for aquaculture feed.
Fertilizer,
okay. Basically milling it, mushing it up, grinding it up, and turning it into something else.
And they do that. One of the fish they do that with is sardine.
That's one of the uses of it. A lot of it's actually for human consumption.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Hey, all right. Well, with that, it's time to find out what's going on down south. It's time to find out what's biting down in the Baja. And we got the man, the gas man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours, is standing by. Today, that catch report sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation, strength and durability. The big fish season is here, and the Gamakatsu Super Nautilus Circle Hook is the one that's putting big fish on the deck. It has the strength and durability to help you catch your big fish of a lifetime. And, Pete, hopefully it's the hook that puts your 200-pounder on the deck on the Royal Star this week. Get that Gamakatsu Super Nautilus Circle Hook at your favorite tackle store. And let's talk to the man, the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. Buenos dias, cast man.
Buenos dias, Ricky. Buenos dias, Pedro.
Cast man.
Hey, man. Getting ready to head down to Laredo this week. We're having our Yellowtail Tournament, the Cast Tours Yellowtail Tournament there at the Hotel Oasis.
Right.
Everybody's coming in on Friday, and we're going to fish Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and come home on Tuesday. And I'm going to be driving down with our good friend Mike, Pete. And
Mikey.
Yeah, we plan on stopping.
You better let Mike drive, Cass.
he kind of already told me that.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But we're going to stop at Santa Rosalia on the way down and spend a couple of nights there because we're driving. And like I said, we understand that the yellowtail bite there is really, really good. And first time I ever fished out of there, and we're going to fish Tortuga Island, which I understand is fabulous for yellowtail. And then we'll move into Loretto and then fish there. Now the reports there are coming out pretty good yellowtail fishing there. Most of the action is up north. It's a run from the town of Loretto, but you're fishing up toward Punta Pulpito, Ildefonso, San Bruno. A few fish around Carmen Island there at Punta Coyote, but the main majority of fish is up north and quality fish. I mean, you're looking at, you know, yellowtail 20 to 40, 45 pounds, so some really nice fish being caught up there. Down in Cabo San Lucas, gosh, I guess a very, very frustrating fishery. Lots and lots of striped marlin out there. You know, they'll see them, 10, 12, 15 fish going down swell, and they're presenting beautiful baits to them, and they just don't want to bite. So guys are really frustrated there. Up in the Sea of Cortez around Punta Gordo, up around San Luis, the Ayman, Vino Rama, that area there, fishing really slowed up this past week. The previous week they were in the yellowtail and wahoo and yellowfin tuna. Now they're primarily fishing bottom for, you know, red snapper, a few amberjack in the mix, and like I say, it's just kind of slowed down. They took a little bump, but look for that to come back in the next week or two. Massillon there, still going strong on their billfish, not quite a one per boat average there. Mostly stripers, a few sails mixed in. And then down in, Siwantenejo here again, things, slowed down there from the previous week, getting a few sails, one or two blue marlin in the mix, and of course along the beaches have been really good there for the jacks and the roosters, the bigger quality roosters, you know, the 30 to 40 to 50 pound roosters. So, you know, there's some good fishing. I think there's a little bump in the road there, but we'll see that pick up in the next week or two. And I'll try to give you guys a live Baja Loretto Fish Report next Saturday. See if the cell phones are working, and I'll give you an on-the-water report.
I hope you do,
yeah,
Cass.
Man.
I'm going to try.
All right. Well, drive safely, and if anybody wants to go to wherever Cass will send you, how do we find you?
800-593-6510 on the web, www.casttours.com. And also, if you guys want to get into our, you know, weekly fish reports that we send out over the email, and our specials that pop up, you know, every now and then, and our newsletters we send out, just you can just go to the website www.casttours.com, click onto the link, and you're automatically going to start receiving that stuff. So I'll talk to you guys next Saturday.
Hopefully. All right, good luck in Loretto. Thanks a lot, Cassman. Appreciate that. Talk to you next Saturday.
All right, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls, all kinds of great stuff coming up. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
This spring and summer, Angler Management continues to offer the finest 4- and 6-pack operation and great value. Angler Management Sport Fishing and Captain Bob Aronson have developed the ultimate charter operation aboard two fine boats. A 35-foot Cabo Yacht Sport Fisher for up to 6 anglers, or a 26-foot Scout for up to 4 anglers. Now you can catch everything from yellowtail to tuna aboard these magnificent boats. Come join the Let's Talk Hookup sponsor trips, or check out amsportfishing.com and book your own charter.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability, and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
This is Greg Stotespray from AFCO. For over 20 years, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next generation fishing and board shorts. Our new M82 tactical fishing shorts feature quick dry, high tech, two-way stretch fabric, zipper fly, 6 functional pockets plus pliers pocket, sublimated camo print, and our DWR finish so your shorts don't get stained. Also new to the AFCO line are the M25 Stingray board shorts. The Stingray board shorts feature new, quick dry, 4-way mind stretch fabric, modern zipper fly, 2 technical high cargo pockets with inverted zippers, silicone printed draw cords, along with our DWR finish to repel stains. Both shorts are new to the AFCO line and come in a variety of colors and sizes. These technically advanced fishing and board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing and board shorts. Check them out today at better shops everywhere.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
XESRF 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Padres are playing some kind of baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Heard from my friend John Christensen that owns Point Loma Seafoods, along with his brother Jack, that albacore came from Fiji.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
Yeah, reverse side of the globe there. So, different season, and Fijian
albacore.
How cool is it that we can walk into a place like Point Loma Seafoods and go get a piece of albacore or a piece of whatever? That case that they have is always, that's like my favorite part of going
pretty
in there
unreal.
And looking at all the stuff, you know, like, oh, there's Opa or there's a fresh white sea bass. Like, there's just nobody.
Come from the best fishing spots in the world.
Absolutely nobody in the world that does it like those guys do.
No doubt about it, for sure. Well, hey. Get ready. San Diego County Ford Dealer Remote Broadcast is going to be starting at Encinitas Ford, corner of Encinitas Boulevard and El Camino Real in Encinitas. And May 16th is the date. So you want to mark your calendar. Hard to believe that's a month, about a month away. Yeah. So from 7 to 9 a.m., it's going to be our first San Diego County Shimano Casting Contest. Your first chance to qualify for the big grand prize, which is a trip for one to Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska in 2016. It's going to include round-trip tickets on from San Diego to Sitka on Alaska Airlines, four nights of lodging at Kingfisher Charters, 3 days of fishing, and, of course, all your incredible fish processing from Kingfisher Charters. You can also win a trip on the Blackjack from Dana Landing. That's the new Blackjack. Have you checked out the new Blackjack?
Beautiful.
The new Blackjack is cool.
Yeah.
You better book your charters on the new Blackjack because that boat is going to be super popular four-pack.
The lures. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
boat.
It's a beautiful boat. And that's at Dana Landing. You're going to have Shimano rods and reel giveaways, Maui Jim gift cards, AFCO clothing packages. And here's the great deal. Whether you make the cast or not in the casting contest, you have a chance to win at every event. Because we're going to have a random winner from each event. We're going to have four events, four casting winners, four random winners, and then there will be eight grand prizes, including the trip to Kingfisher Charters on Alaska Airlines. And, of course, Gary the Prize Cowboy is going to be there. And you can win a prize for just showing up. So mark the calendar, May 16th from 7 to 9 a.m. at Encinitas Ford's, your first chance to win a trip to Alaska in Sitka, courtesy Alaska Airlines and Kingfisher Charters. And thanks to all those sponsors that make that possible. It's going to be great. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about we start it back off this morning with Mike, who's calling us from Rosemead. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning. First of all, it was a pleasure to finally meet you, Pete, in person over there at the Fred Hall Show.
Yeah.
And, I was surf fishing Monday at Sunset Beach area, fishing for halibut. And I caught a fish that probably almost nobody's ever caught. It was a mullet, and it weighed like 3 pounds, 14 ounces.
Whoa!
And it inhaled a Zoom Fluke pearl white plastic. So I've never heard of anybody ever catching a mullet before on the surf. But
Charles.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around. Sunset Beach, up Huntington Beach, Sunset Beach. Yeah, San Gabriel River there is full of them.
Really?
So there's lots of them coming out there, right? Los Alamitos Bay and right in there. I've seen lots of them.
Is that in the Croker family of the mullet?
No, it's its own family.
In the mullet family.
The mullet family.
Okay.
And there's a few of them around different places around the world. Odd looking fish, flat head, and their eyes look like they're kind of bugging out the side, and odd looking fish.
But you catch them occasionally.
Silver and black, and
exactly. Yeah,
on the fluke,
kind of like a mouth like a catfish, but eyes like a carp, and it was just an odd thing. I have a question. I was just reading one of the fishing magazines that this April, or actually last week, they were going to install a tuna pen in Huntington Flats, and there's going to be another one up in Ventura, Morro Bay, and up in Newport, Oregon. Do you have any information on that, or what's your take on that?
I see you definitely got everybody's eyes. Eyes are looking back and forth. I don't know that anybody, at least that.
Yeah.
Speak for you, Charles, but news to me.
Yeah, that's news to me.
I just read it on it was a Pacific Sport Fishing magazine, and I didn't hear anything about it in the Western Outdoor News or anything, so
interesting.
I didn't know if it was
real. I know that Hub SeaWorld Research Institute has been working on some yellowtail offshore pens, right?
Right.
To farm-raise yellowtail and striped bass, too, right?
Yeah.
And they're working on those permits, I would guess. Right.
Yeah, they're in the permitting process.
Is that a federal thing or a state thing?
It's a mix of both, multiple agencies. if it's outside of 3 miles, there's a lot of federal involvement, and Army Corps is actually the primary agency
Army Corps to
run it, because it's a land, it's essentially a land lease.
Oh, I see.
So they're actually the primary agency that issues the permit, but we consult on all of that all of that process. So
how much does NOAA interact with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife?
Quite a bit. Yeah, on a senior level all the way down to staff level, and a lot of us know each other very well, and some of my really good friends work over there. So
sure. Are you mostly working in California, or do you work across the country?
Primarily in California, but yeah. I work on a lot of national level projects, a lot of stuff that's in with different groups from around the country.
Mostly on the West Coast?
Little everywhere. We do a lot of groups we have is sort of one person from each region, and it's a lot of working together to make sure we're not duplicating things. Mm-hmm. That what if they figured out how to do something really well with a logbook system, data system up in the Northeast, then we'll try to borrow that, as opposed to reinventing the wheel for ourselves. Or if Alaska's done something really good, then the Miami office will try to copy something of that or anything like that.
So do you have similar counterparts on the East Coast that watch over and observe, like you're in charge of the Observer program?
Yeah.
Is there somebody that does what you do on the East Coast?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a couple people around the country that do a pretty similar job to mine.
And where would they be based? They're based in Florida? Are they based in Maryland?
So the East Coast, we have there's an Observer program runs out of Galveston, one out of Galveston, one out of Miami, one out of Woods Hole up on Cape Cod. And then on the West Coast, there's a program that runs out of Seattle, ours out of Long Beach. There's one that runs out of Honolulu, and the one that runs out of Alaska.
Wow. Okay.
That's cool.
It's a big end.
I had to dig it, man. That's awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that very much. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
How about we talk to Matt? Matt's calling us from Newport this morning. Matt, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Matt?
My question is about, I heard that a section of San Clemente Island was opened up last year and had been closed for 25 years. That's why some of the boats out of Davies Locker are doing well in their overnights. Are there any other surprise openings that may be happening in the next year or two?
I don't know of an area that was necessarily opened either of San Clemente. Is that anything you guys are familiar
with? I don't either, yeah. There are no MPAs on San Clemente Island. There are Navy closures there,
mm-hmm.
like the 9. They closed the 9 on the west end of San Clemente Island, mm-hmm. And that's a naval closure for national security. But and then a Wilson Cove, which is the Navy base, is also closed too. You're not allowed to fish inside Wilson Cove, but those are not MPAs. Those are not marine protected areas.
And there's been some depth restrictions on rockfish that have been recessed back to allow deeper water. So it is definitely made definitely made for some better rock fishing. You know, allowed some deeper access to spots that might have added to what you're doing. I'm sure, Charles, that's something that you're directly, I'm sure, related with.
Because NOAA is directly involved with ground fisheries, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So what were the new laws that maybe is playing into his question here? It's likely that they were fishing areas that they weren't able to fish before because of depth.
Yeah, that's possible. But this past year, just this last month, went back to 60 fathoms in Southern California. So every 2 years...
From 40 fathoms.
From 50.
From 50 fathoms.
So every 2 years... the Pacific Council sets sort of the most of the regs for the 2 year window. So they do a 2 year cycle, and they'll set the bag limit, size limits, seasons and depth limit for ground fish in the various zones up the coast. And it's really based on what the allocation of the various species primarily boccaccio, Calcite, canary, yellow eye, are really where the focus is on those four. And basically is to get as much fishing opportunity without overrunning the allocation.
Gotcha.
Was the increase in depth just because, you know, you blankly are just seeing more of that fish around? Is it because of release devices?
It's both.
A little bit of everything?
During the season, we're monitoring how much fish is being caught by onboard California Recreational Fisheries mm-hmm. Survey samplers, the fish and wildlife samplers onboard the party boats. They meet the private boats at the dock. They're checking piers and beaches and doing those interviews dockside. And that's really one of the main drivers of where we're gauging how much has been caught. And then also the party boat logbooks is sort of the other piece that we gain a lot of that info from.
So that allows for, a lessening of the recreational fishing regulation.
Yeah, I mean, it works both directions. As mm-hmm. harvest of the sort of species of concern goes up, then we've got to kind of tighten the depth and tighten the season and reduce the bag. And as harvest goes down or the abundance of the stock goes up, we get more allocation, it'll last longer. And
deeper water.
Things like deeper water, longer seasons, all those sort of things. So
Matt, were you fishing for rockfish?
No. Supposedly yellowtail. But a section opened up for yellowtail.
Hmm. Okay. News to me, but always good news if that's the case.
Hey, more water is always better, right? Yeah.
Being a San Diego guy, I'm just lesser familiar with that up there, but always a good thing for sure. That's great news if that's the case.
Good yellowtail. It's been good at San Clemente Island. Yeah. We certainly appeal to the not only the sport boat operators but also the private boat operators to really be conscious of the Navy closures and listen to your radio when you're at San Clemente Island because, like Dave Hansen said last week, they're going to close it. If we don't listen to them, if we don't abide by the naval closures, it's their island. We're a guest at their island, and they can close it at any time. And if we don't listen to them, they may close it permanently.
Dave said something that stuck with me, too, when he was talking about that yesterday was, you know, think about how much money it costs to put a helicopter up in the air and come chase you out of there. I mean, just it's not like that's something that just costs nobody any money. You know, I mean, if that happens all the time, every time, it's just a matter of time before they say, all right, that's enough.
You bet. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Cookout coming your way. Another full hour, including the catch report. We're going to find out what's biting up and down the beach. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Cookout on the Mighty 1090.
Here's important news from Searcher Sport Fishing. Our 2015 schedule is now available at searchersportfishing.com. This is Captain Art Taylor. After an outstanding 2014 season, I promise our trips will fill fast. The Searcher offers great service, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins, an RSW system to preserve your catch, and plenty of room at the rail. Call Celia at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403. Or book online today at searchersportfishing.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 18 stores throughout Southern California and 3 in San Diego County. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find the location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaska dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
XSRF 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Oh my gosh, this club is playing fantastic baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Meet the innovation award-winning Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes at 300, 250, and 225 horsepower. These Predators are up to 73 pounds lighter than the competition. And with class-leading 4.2-liter displacements, they're up to 19% faster and up to 17% more fuel efficient at cruise RPM than comparable 4-strokes. And now they're available with Hellmaster, Yamaha's fully integrated boat control system. Meet the next generation of Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes today at your local Yamaha dealer. Hellmaster available with V6 is purchased only as part of new boat packages from boat builder partners. As an angler, sun protection is a must, but most sunscreens are greasy, sting your eyes, and contaminate your gear. Sol SunGuard's Blue Water formula has been a pro angler's secret. Imagine a pharmaceutical-grade sunscreen that cannot come off until you wash it off. A sunscreen that's hydrophobic. It actually repels water. And most important, it won't sting your eyes or scent your gear. Here in Southern California, nothing beats the protection of Sol SunGuard Blue Water. Available at Better Tackle Stores and at SolSunGuard.com.
Are you as excited about spring fishing as I am? The water stayed warm all winter, which means it's shaping up to be one of the best seasons ever to get out on the water. It's also shaping up to be one of the best seasons ever to visit your Ford dealer. The all-new F-150s are starting to roll in. With over 100 new patents, it's guaranteed to be a game changer. The new Mustang also has everyone buzzing. You've got to check it out. And the new Fusion, Focus, and Escape are better than ever. Fuel efficient and loaded with technology. There's as much interest in these new Fords as there is in spring fishing. In fact, Ford was the most searched automotive brand on Google last year. And once again, it's America's best-selling brand based on 2014 calendar year sales, which makes Ford the brand more people search, buy, and buy again. There's a lot to be excited about this spring, whether you're after tuna, yellowtail, halibut, or a brand new Ford. So visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.